When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Warning, this podcast contains spoilers for Secret Invasion Episode 6, the series finale. And you're not going to want to be spoiled. Hello! My name is Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Rosie Knight.
And welcome to X-Ray Vision, the Crooked Media Podcast, where we dive deep into your favorite shows, movies, comics, and pop culture.
In this episode, in the airlock, we're digging into Secret Invasion, Episode 6. We made it, guys! Can you believe it? We reached the finale. The finale is here. The finale is over. So we're going to talk about
it. We have endured
the finale. We have endured and we have survived.
Yeah.
And in Nerd Out, a theory on the possible MCU connections spinning out of Secret Invasion.
Coming up next, Secret Invasion Episode 6. Stepping out of the airlock for the finale of Secret Invasion, Episode 6, Home, directed by Ali Salim, written by Kyle Bradstreet and Brian Tucker. And we open with Vara leaving the shootout, I think, from the previous episode. There is Skrull blood all over the place, and she's got her little gun-toting backpack. And she's leaving, and she gets a call from her legal husband, Nick Fury.
Nicholas Fury.
And he says, hey, I'm going away.
Why is he like this every time?
Also, apparently he never calls her. That's why she answered the phone. She's like, this must be serious.
She's like, oh, I guess he's going to space again.
Also, did they unintentionally reference I Will Survive? Is this like all an unintentional reference to the lyrics of I Will Survive? Anyway, so he says, yes, I'm going to space. And Vera's like, no, you should stick around. And he's like, no. Okay. At New Skrullos, a car rolls up to the gate. The guards are like, stop. The guards, who are Skrulls, who are disguised as humans, as Russians. This car doesn't stop, so they open fire on it. They just perforate this car, and then they walk up to it. There's no one in the car. And then all of a sudden, two other gunshots ring out, and now the Skrull guards are dead. Who is it? It's Nick Fury, back on his I'm a super spy shit, and I'm not washed anymore. He's ready.
He's ready to trick them with the old empty car trick. And then cut to the credits after that shocking reveal.
At President Ritson's bedside, where again,
a shocking
paucity of anybody the American president.
You will never hear me asking for the Secret Service to be in attendance. But in this case,
where is the Secret Service? Where is the entire cabinet? Like, it feels like
where's his wife or his children or anyone in his life?
We should at least be video linked to like the Joint Chiefs or something. Because Scrody is here and he's just like, hey, I know you're going through it right now. You're probably dealing with like a concussion.
Post-traumatic
like,
stress disorder.
And a shock of like almost dying. But you need to attack Russia and you need to attack this Russian base where the Skrulls are. And you need to do it now.
Also, wasn't that the plot of the last episode? Like this seems like slightly reductive. But also, I want to know why the president would just still be absolutely buying into
he's on the fence about it. It's like on the one hand, the missile launching like ships and subs are on the way.
They're ready.
On the other hand, he's really like, I don't know. It kind of means World War III. Mm. Some admiral is like, I don't know. Maybe we should just kind of wait and see. And Scrody's like, no.
You don't need to do that. I'm his number one most trusted advisor. I'm the only...
I was in the Avengers.
His aunt didn't show up when he got shot and then they assassinate him. There hasn't been any kind of world fallout from him being assassinated. But guess who's here? Rhodey.
And let me just talk about my Rhodey bona fides. Iron Man 2 and 3.
Heard of me?
Heard of it. How about that big fight at the German airport in Captain American Civil War? I was very, very important in that moment, and I did get paralyzed or is severely injured. Talk more about that later. I was there in Wakanda in Infinity War. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back after the blip.
And the MCU president that we've never seen before, of course, he's like, oh, that's true. All of that happened. I was definitely there and aware of it.
So let's nuke Russia. Then he's like, and just to prove my point, here's satellite imagery showing Russians moving into either defensive or offensive positions, one or both or whatever. Scrody then hands the president a speech that he's written himself.
What is going on here? Did he drug the president?
He's like, yo, just read this shit.
The Skrulls have like a hypnotic tendency that they can use here. I feel like the president is just going along with it.
We should ask our founders if you can just walk up to the president
and be like,
say,
can you read this
speech?
Can you
just read this into cameras?
It's going to be all over the world, sir. I made sure it had lots of good rhymes.
Meanwhile, Fury is making his way into the new Skrullos base, and he's finding just Skrulls dead everywhere for reasons that we're not sure about.
Okay, are they the dead Skrulls from Gravik's little fight? Also, this will be a recurring theme in this episode conversation, but like, what is the... How can Fury not be impacted by... the nuclear radiation that is apparently 1,000 times higher than...
He's taking massive doses and he's, like, coughing and stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, but that's, like, that will kill you for a long time.
I've got a lot of questions about the radiation coming up later. But he is taking damage from the intense radiation of this now-defunct nuclear reactor that we are led to surmise is probably Chernobyl. And there are a lot of dead Skrulls around, possibly, I guess, killed by Gravik in his ire that anyone would ever question him. Where's Gravik? Gravik is over by his super Skrull machine. That's where Fury finds him. Fury's like gobbling anti-radiation pills, and Gravik's like, ha-ha, you don't need that. How about a drink? And Fury's like, okay, I'll have a whiskey. Like, it's dead.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Gravik is like, hey, you just came here by yourself? Like, where are the Avengers? What are you doing, bro? Like, what up? And Gravik talks about his human form. He's like, you never asked me about this person. Mm-hmm. And this is the first human life I took. I took him on your orders. He had a wife and a family, and I killed him. And every time I killed people for you, like, it took a part of my soul. And I think that's actually something that
Yes!
Nick Fury needs to hear.
And this is like this moment, because Kingsley Benadire is also like a really, really great actor.
He's wonderful.
If you've seen him in other things.
He's doing the most.
He's doing the most with this script. But like, this was especially a moment where I was like, oh man, if this had been part of the first episode and it's about the fact that Fury essentially they're using a lot of political analogies here about the people that America have trained to kill who then come back and become, you know, terrorists as they're perceived by the American state. Like, so there's a lot of real life analogs here that I don't think they give enough depth to, but this is one of those moments where I was like, oh, this could have been what the show is about. Like, when he's saying this, he literally took on the form of the first person Fury made him assassinate when he was very young because he realized that person had a life and a family and Fury asked him to kill him. That's so interesting, and it's literally like 30 seconds.
He says something really interesting, which is, you pimped us, Fury, essentially saying, hey, you promised us a homeland, and then you used us to commit various espionage activities, including murder. And then when you didn't need us, you just kind of like fobbed us off on everybody else. So Gravik says, here's what I'm going to do because I'm extremely angry at you.
And he is pissed.
He is so mad.
He sells this. He is like so irate.
He really does. Everybody is acting their ass off in this.
They know it's the finale. Even if we might not know from watching it, they know. They're giving
it
their all.
I'm gonna kill you, Nick Fury, and then I'm going to genocide the entire human race. So just like be tortured by that knowledge because I'm so mad. Fury then admits, hey, listen, that's on me. It was my bad. I didn't get you guys a homeworld. My bad. I'll take the L on that one. But I know people are tired of hearing me say this with the blip. was very disruptive. It messed me up. And also, look at this. And then he takes out a little vial of the DNA, the Harvest DNA, which we're about to find out is everybody.
It's not just the Avengers.
It's this literally is like every powered this person is every in the MCU.
All 300 people or whoever who showed up in Endgame and came through a portal on both the good side and the bad side, they are included in the tiny Harvest DNA. I don't know how that works. I'm not a scientist. But that's apparently what it is.
With a little Q-tip. With Q-tips.
And then they put it all in the bottle and they were like, oh, this will turn me into a super soldier.
So Fury is like, here's my deal. You take this vial of DNA and just leave Earth.
Yep.
Okay? Like, here's, you wanted this, now get out of here. Call off the attacks and vacate Earth. While this is going on, someone is taking out all the Secret Service guys around Ritson with little sleep darts.
Of course.
Despite, and no one can find him. Nobody can see where the guy is. There are probably cameras in the hospital. Nobody can see the, it's There's just no, like the darts come out of shadows and then look and there's no one there.
Have you ever been in a city, right?
It's like,
where
just hallways.
Where a politician comes to your city. It happened in Long Beach when I lived there. They shut down your whole city just for a politician who's like walking up to a podium to talk for 10 minutes, let alone if the president was an attempted assassination and then in hospital. They'd close down the block.
And
some mysterious person is just out here shooting some darts like they're in Jumanji or something. Like, I don't know. It is a shockingly bad security in the MCU. I will say this. No, I won't say it because WJ's on strike, so I'm not going to pitch any good ideas. But this should be talked about in the future. This is a good, funny retcon that you can talk about in the future.
Ritson is really shaken up by the fact that all his guys are getting slept all around him. And he's like to his Secret Service guy, like, give me your gun. What's the Secret Service guy going to use?
Yeah.
And then this lets you know that Ritson has been, whatever his mental state pre the attacks, he's clearly like unhinged now.
He's
like,
deranged.
Yeah, give me the gun. I'm concussed. I'm in a hospital bed. You're a trained Secret Service agent.
Yep.
I think I may do better than you. Anyway, soon after, Sonya, who is just—
oh, thank God she's here.
Takes Scrody prisoner because I guess she was behind a door.
She literally was just hiding behind a door. And as she pointed out to him, you didn't even check behind the door. Well, really are a Skrull.
Well, that was interesting because I guess, should we take from that Skrulls just never check behind things? Like, is like a cultural Skrull?
I love
this. They just like don't.
I like the implication here that like, that's just, Skrulls are just inherently trusting of like, the liminal space behind
the
door.
They're like materialists.
I think the idea is, as we will talk about more later, I think what they're trying to imply here is like, whoever this Skrull is, they haven't been Rhodey for very long. So they don't have that, like, they don't have the immediate suspicion and paranoia and that, like, the things that you would have to do if you were around the president.
It's like Timothy Dalton's run as 007.
He just got there, you know? And so I think that she's like, wow, the fact you didn't even check, that just proved, if I didn't know you were a Skrull before, I know you're one now. And that's lucky for you because your finger's not going to get chopped off.
What if it's this? What if it's, so the Skrulls spend some large portion of their lives like in disguise, right?
Yeah.
Even when they're not on Earth disguised, like clearly they have this power, they use it.
Mm-hmm.
Natural selection would imply that they need this for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So they don't understand hiding with objects.
Because
they just hide like
all the time. They don't
in
need,
plain sight.
That's actually pretty
so
good.
So they don't understand how to use, the landscape.
They don't
to hide.
Usually need to hide because they just hide by taking on a
That's
different person.
Fury could just like roll a car towards a gate and then be standing behind a tree and then come out and shoot two trained Skrull warriors.
It was weird how like they were just so unprepared for that, but I suppose that's just narrative
ease. I hope that's what it is. The
I
Skrulls
like
are just
again, I'm
the
saying,
worst in the galaxy
look,
at hide and seek.
Oh my God. Yeah, I would also watch that What If short. Like, what if the Skrulls had to play hide and seek for the fate of the universe and they're just terrible at it? But also, I will say that I think as much as I believe that this finale is a similar quality to the rest of the show, as to say, not the best offering of the MCU, I do think in the culture of comics, and we've talked about this a lot, one of the best things is when you make a comic or when you make a comic book TV show, or what, even when you join a long-running TV show mm-hmm. or a shared universe, you're essentially collaborating with the people who came before.
Yes.
And there is a lot of fun seeds here that could be expanded on. Like, I think a lot about how when we interviewed Jessica Gao about She-Hulk, and she talked about that gag where they were just like, oh, the Sokovia Accords don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That felt like such a huge reveal, but that was just something that she like pitched to Kevin Feige. And I think that there's a lot of stuff here that while we're kind of coming at it with these outrageous questions in our mind, because there is a lot of really silly stuff going on, you could have a lot of fun building on those like choices.
I completely agree. And I think, you know, one of the strengths of the MCU and in comics in general
mm-hmm.
is for that exact thing, the ability to go back and go, there's a thing that's weird or dumb or maybe didn't quite work. How can I come up with something to make that work and make that cool and make that weird and interesting? You know, we were just talking beforehand about how Thor the Dark World was, for its time, like probably the worst
most maligned
MCU movie. And then it became weirdly one of the most important.
Yeah, and also people, I got a cult following.
Yeah.
And I have seen people online, there have been articles by people who think this is actually a really good show and they love the change of pace. So it's going to find that cult following as these things always do. And I do think a lot of these things that in the context of the show didn't land could be really interesting and fun to expand on in the future.
I agree.
X-Ray Vision will be back.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back. Gravik then puts the DNA in the little loader of his machine. And then we see like all the names come up on the screen and it's legit everybody. Thor, Winter Soldier.
Captain Marvel.
Stephen Strange. Korg.
Even the people that you don't care about. The ice giants from Malfey and all that.
They're just random as guardians. Like, everybody is in there. So Gravik powers up the machine with Fury, like, dying of radiation poisoning inside of
it. I guess he thought that it would kill him because he's a human.
He's a human. Yeah, it was Star Trek 2 kind of
thing. Yeah.
So then it turns off, and then Super Gravik is now like a super duper Skrull. He already had like the beta version of four different powers. Now he has like, I don't know, three dozen
at
powers,
least,
like,
you know?
And he starts beating Fury's ass.
And he just gets really hench, which is really funny. He's just, I think they wanted that more like Kurt, like he's just a super Skrull. Like, he's just a really buff Skrull. And he's not just like beating Fury and you're like, oh dear, RIP to Nick Fury, but there's a surprise.
Then all of a sudden Fury catches the fist and guess what? It's Gaia who, because she remained in the machine, got like 50% of the super
at least
Skrull
maybe
energy.
All of them.
Yeah,
she got a lot of powers. She already had the four powers, but now she has the more powers.
So we get the big ass fight now.
She starts it with Nick Fury having a Hulk arm, which is like one of the funniest things that's ever happened in the MCU and will definitely become like a hilarious meme before she's revealed to be Gaia.
And just in the first like 15 seconds of this fight, you get Ghost's teleportation powers from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Abomination, Korg, a frost giant, on and on and on. They're just battling it out back at the hospital. Fury,
Real Fury
now, we understand, is out scrody to the president. Is like, that guy's a Skrull. I know he looks like Rhodes, but it's not Rhodes. And also lots of high-ranking politicians all around the globe, they're Skrulls. And then he's like, hey, and by the way, President Ritson, if you nuke New Skrullos, all the real versions of those very important people are going to die because that's where they keep them on ice. And that means also James Rhodes, War Machine Rhodey, will be killed because all this, they're all there. Scrody, meanwhile, is like, no, what are you fucking talking about?
I'm a human, bro. I love being human. What? It's so great.
This guy's crazy, man. Stay the course, Prez. Like, let's just do it.
Let's just do a nuke. It will be really fun, man. Yeah. We've been through so much together.
Just, like, do it, dude. Just forget all that stuff and let's do it. Then we get more powers. We go back to the fight. Ebony Maw. There's some good Ebony Maw action here, which I think, again, is just, like, straight up. The assets right from
Infinity
War.
Exactly. It has to be.
Captain Marvel. There's an extended Captain Marvel sequence. Then Gaia uses Mantis's empathy powers to put Gravik to sleep. And eventually she punches a hole in his guts with her Captain Marvel strength, which, I mean, you could make a very, very easy argument that she's now the most powerful person.
I have seen many people saying that. I agree to a point. But also, I'm like, I hope they don't go that route because it would just be like,
well, we need to find out what the limits
silly.
Of this thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, what if you use someone else's powers against them?
Yeah.
Like, the MCU hasn't necessarily had a great record of adapting powers like that because, like, Taskmaster's one of the coolest Marvel Comics characters, and the version they did wasn't necessarily extremely accurate to the impact of Taskmaster in the comics. So I'll be interested to see. But for now, she's definitely the most powerful person in the show.
And to be fair to the show, Marvel has also never really given us like the limits of Skrull power. Like,
oh, no. I mean, even this is the funniest thing.
How long can they keep this up? Like,
also, from the very earliest episode in the Discord, online, between ourselves, on the show, I think one of the biggest problems the show struggled with is they have not set out any kind of rules about, how do the Skrulls' powers work? How are they not already ruling the Earth if they have these limitless powers? How long have the Skrulls had the powers? How long have they had those humans in there? We will get to this, but as Nikesh, who came on the podcast to talk about Spider-Man India, pointed out in a text to me when I woke up this morning, how does everybody who's in New Skrullos, who's a human, not have horrible radiation poisoning and have already died?
Okay, let's get to put a pin in that because we're about to talk about that. So, back at the hospital, Fury shoots Skrody and he turns into a fucking Skrull. And Ritson's like, "Oh shit,
he really was a Skrull!
Oh my god, call off the nukes!" Gaia, back in New Skrullos, goes down to free the prisoners. And to your point, they've all been down there for months, weeks, years. Shouldn't they all
be
like,
dead?
Be fucking like ghouls.
They
from
would be
the
ghouls.
Fallout games,
yeah.
Taking massive amounts of radiation over time, just like absorbing radiation.
Bro, I have read Raymond Briggs' iconic comic book, When the Wind Blows. I have seen that disturbing ass cartoon movie. It's iconic. I will tell you this for free. There's no way they're surviving down there, even for like 3 days. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And also, I wonder if narratively you'll be like, well, the Skrulls have a way of keeping them alive.
I think that we're going to get that. Well, thank
you know
God
what?
The Skrulls had the best radiation insulation technology
ever. Well, that would change the whole course of the world. Yeah. So I hope that we get a fallout from that. No, pun intended.
So we see among the notables are colonizer Everett Ross.
I was really
CIA.
Hoping he was dead. I didn't need him to come
Rhodey,
back.
And we learn that Rhodey has apparently been down there for what is termed a long time.
What does that mean?
I'll say this. Everybody else, when they get up, they're shaky, you know, but they have no problem. He's still like limping. I wonder if it's like post Civil War.
Whoa.
Like in the wake of Civil War, they got him.
That's crazy. And they just had to keep replacing different people. Like,
yeah,
with,
and that
with
Skrull was probably too messed up to continue in the role. So they got Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of questions coming out of this about the reaction. And I guess they set it up with the end that you could potentially end up in a situation where it was like, oh, the Skrulls, you know, we're going to do a hearing on the Skrulls.
Yeah,
so
we
can
need
say,
a
like, who, how long were you in there? The the scroll, new Skrullos 4. Like, Rhodey, who was wearing those fancy Iron Man pants that Tony Stark wore for you? Like, was it you? Like, was it a Skrull? Do Skrulls have that technology? And is that then going to be the source of conflict in Armor Wars, which we've always been wondering how they were going to do it? I would hope they go for a more back-to-basics vibe for Armor Wars, because it's one of my favorite comic arcs of all time. Same. And I don't think it needs the Secret Invasion touch, but I'm very interested because it seems like Rhodey is the one who's most like, what the fuck's going on?
I would imagine, who knows what they'll do, but I think a kind of cool effect of this would be that Rhodey's career is probably fucked, because people are going to be like, well, yes, you were being impersonated by a Skrull, but now nobody trusts him, you know? Like,
well, yeah, so this, in a way, this is actually the closest that we've gotten to real Secret Invasion, is like, now people know this is going to happen because, as we will get to in a minute, Ritson is an unhinged maniac.
Ritson, like, Ritson is eating red meat,
he's
folks.
Gone wild. And he is, like, obviously going to start this kind of Secret Invasion fallout Star War where it's like, you can't trust anyone. Rhodey was a Skrull. Everyone was a Skrull. So that could be the fallout we get that's much closer to the comics.
Yes.
That, you know, than this.
So Ritson makes a speech in his hospital room, and not clear if it's the one that Skrody wrote for him or if he put edits on it.
I think he's going himself, off the dome. I think it's like he's just freestyling.
It's a cipher from President Ritson, and he's got some bangers in there. He says something to the effect of, we know how to find you. We will hunt every last one of you down, and we will kill every last one of you. Imagine the American president going on television and just saying flat out, we're going to kill you all.
Yeah, it's one of the most bonkers things, because especially something we've been talking about is, like, it doesn't really feel like there's been a good scope in this show shown of, like, how people would react to another alien invasion post the Chitauri. You feel like it would be like a global news frenzy, but this has been incredibly interior. So now, not only is it like he's going on and he's not like, my fellow Americans, I'm here to tell you of a shape-shifting alien threat, but we also have allies within this community. He's like, bro, there's aliens. I'm going to kill them. Every alien. It doesn't matter if you're a Skrull. Doesn't matter if you're Chitauri. Doesn't matter if you're Captain Marvel. Doesn't matter if you're Kree. Like, you're getting killed.
No, he's like, they came for me, and that's it. They fucked up because I'm still alive. So
fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out. Every Skrull out there, what are you going to do when you go to sleep and I'm still trying to murder you? You better sleep with one eye open because President Ritson is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Fury finally apologizes to his wife, Vara, for years and years and years and years of not calling, of not hanging out, of basically neglecting her. And he basically admits in a kind of very, very roundabout way that he loves her for who she is, not the disguise she puts on. Sonya recruits Gaia to whatever SIS, her new organization.
You want to know, I have to say, I did think this was missing. This is one of those moments where I feel like they kind of, they forget what makes people excited about the MCU, because she essentially, it looks like, I guess they shake hands, but it looks like she's almost handing her a card.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is it going to say like MI3? Like, is it going to be like a connection to this organization? But it's more of just like an acknowledged, like, okay.
Yeah.
And I did like, of course, Olivia Colman has been the highlight of this show to me. And I kind of liked the moment where she said, like, let's not mess up like your father and Fury did and make it about friendship and love. Like, let's just use each other.
It's a job.
And I'm going to use you and you're going to use me. And hopefully that will end with us being in a situation where our people are safe. And I thought that was a good character moment. But I feel like, again, in the old days, you would have got like a shield card or something. You know, I feel like there was something missing there to tell people what to expect. I think it's because with Gaia, they've essentially created like people thought that Emilio is maybe going to be like Varanki, like the Skrull Empress. So they've kind of put themselves in a situation of crafting a very new vision of a Skrull leader that they, I guess, don't necessarily have a lot to point in the direction of, like, this is what's coming next.
Fury then calls Ritson on the phone and is like, hey, man, crazy speech that you made. I'm watching you. You better fucking watch it, because that speech has inspired, like, militias around the globe to just, like, gun down.
People are just killing people.
Journalists and and politicians, and some of them are Skrulls, it's true. But then others are like not, and you just
and some of them are like chill Skrulls who didn't want to invade you.
Yeah, now all the good Skrulls are like going over to the other side, and this is just like all bad. And we need to stop this.
Also, can I just say, whomst among us can call the president of America and be like, you better watch out, and like threaten his life, and Nick Fury's still just standing? Like, again, severe security issues around President Ritson, like really bad.
So then, and by the way, that could have been, in my opinion, you can have fixed that with just like, you show Fury with like a cell phone and he puts like some gadget on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or some like
ultimate. Super phone, yeah.
Or earlier you see Ritson give him a burner phone because he's something. Like, you're the only one who I trust or something.
Anyway, so Ritson's like, well, if you love Skrulls so much, then tell them to get the fuck off my planet. My planet is a little presumptuous, President Ritson. We see that Sonya and Gaia, their first kind of mission, I guess.
That's just happening right now.
It's just happening right now, is to like find all the Skrull labs where I guess they don't really go into this. But apparently what Gravik had been doing is he had all these like storage facilities of, I guess, powerful, smart people, and he was just like brain draining them, taking all their memories, and that's how
maybe
they knew
like
how to do things.
Some of them were really smart and powerful, and some of them were like civilians, because that would explain how the Skrulls had so many different faces, like and so many different personalities that they could kind of drop in and out of. But yeah, that was an unexpected ending that I didn't necessarily understand the impact of. But basically, there's a lot more Skrulls and humans being harvested for Skrull stuff than you thought.
Right. And Sonya says, this is how the enemy got so good. And you know these rooms are just like, there's like 200 people just asleep farting in these rooms.
Oh, it would stink.
It's terrible.
Also, like, what about like if they need to like pee and stuff?
They just piss themselves.
Exactly. I think it would be really bad.
Themselves.
It would be terrible to be in that room. I don't want to go there.
Fury is then gonna take Ritson's advice himself and leave the planet. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna leave. His spaceship, you see the light come down.
What?
It's a cool effect.
What is wrong with this man though? Like, honestly,
it's
one,
go back to space.
The ending of this, if you've ever watched the extremely popular American sitcom called ALF, about the alien life form.
About a cat-eating alien.
Yeah, cat-eating alien who lives with a family. I just want to say the end of this episode really looks like the kind of finale of ALF, where he's like going to escape to his family. So I feel like they were really, they were like, ALF, that's a high bar of quality for prestige television. But I just need to say, Nick Fury, Carol Danvers, same problem. I understand why they get along so well, yeah? Both of these people just go off to space anytime their family needs them. They're like, fuck you, peace out, I'm going to space. Carol Danvers' girlfriend, Monica Rambeau's mom, she's like, I've been raising our child here. Like, what's going on? I understand, just as a disclaimer with an asterisk, they are not canonically girlfriends, but I've seen the movie, so I know that they're in love. And like, even as a friend, she's like, hey, what's going on? I spent like all my years of my life raising my daughter and people thinking I'm crazy because I've been saying you're still out there. And Carol's like, must suck for you. I got to go back into space. Nick Fury, his wife, his secret wife, he hasn't seen for like 5-6 years. He's like, oh, sorry, I know I'm back now, but I guess I got to go back to space again.
X-ray vision will be back.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
For a quick and punchy take on the state of the world and how much longer it can hang on, look no further than Crooked Media's What a Day newsletter. In just a few minutes, you'll be up to speed on the day's top news stories, as well as stories that may have gone under your radar. Subscribe to the What a Day newsletter at crooked.com/daily. So he's about to go back to space, but then Vara pulls up. And he's like, why don't you come with me? Let's just like, this is long overdue. Let's just go back to space. Let's like have a vacation in space. You're from space. I've been living in space. Let's just do this together. And she's like, no, my work is here is too important, which I took to mean, she didn't really explain it, but I took that to mean like binding the wounds of the Skrull people who've been through so much like leadership.
Like there's some kind of leadership.
The council, I guess.
Maybe taking accountability for like being part of Gravik's life and kind of like trying to make things right.
She then takes on her Skrull form, and he tells her that he loves her the way she is, and they kiss, and she looks like a Skrull. And then after saying that my work here is too important, she then gets on the spaceship with Nick Fury.
Romantic honeymoon. Wait. They're made for each other. She's like, also, peace out. I don't care about these Skrulls.
Wait,
I'm going on holiday.
Can you explain this to me? Why in the one line earlier does she say, my work here is too important, and then... the very next thing that happens is she's getting beamed up with Nick to go
space. I guess the implication is, like, Nick is more important than her work. But also, like, one, this is a very toxic relationship. I just need to say, like, they do not treat each other well. Two, Nick Fury, you can't just go back to space. Like, you just started a Skrull-human war. The president just declared war on Skrulls. You came down.
Not even war. Genocide. Like, the president is saying, we will kill every single alien on this planet.
And Nick Fury was like, he came down and he was like, well, guess I've admitted I'll never find a home for Skrulls. So I'm going to go back up to space now while the president tries to kill everyone. This seems really bad. And also, like, what about the Avengers? Just give them a call. You didn't even have to pay Chris Evans to pick up the phone and record something over the phone like he was Eric Steven in Eric in like a talking cat, right?
Yeah.
You could have just literally had a phone call of Nick Fury being like, I really messed up. Like, I'm going to need you guys to come and clean up. But no, he just went to space on a romantic honeymoon. Talos is dead. He didn't make a comeback.
R.I.P. Talos. Can I, okay, so I have... here's a dangling thread that I was so sure was foreshadowing and then wasn't. So I don't understand why it's in this. But when Nick and Sonya were talking about the Widow's Veil, and then, she's like, why don't you get the kind that does the whole body? They have that now. And he's like, no, but this is the beta version. They do have that new one, but I don't have it. It seemed like, okay, here we're going to get the
Widow's
Veil.
He's
going to
sneak in as Gaia into the...
You never see it again.
I know. Also as well, like, it just makes...
Chekhov's veil.
Yeah, it makes no sense because, like, that was something you'd spoken about really early on in the series. Oh, how are they going to use the veil? They literally have a power that can give them the same power as Skrulls. And we see him use it once going through an airport. And then it's just like, oh, there's even a more fancy one that you could use that changes your whole body. That sounds useful. No, it's not useful. There's no foreshadowing. And instead, we're going to get Gaia pretending to be Nick Fury.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
Now, I think here's the thing that I think could be cool in the wake of this is clearly the Skrulls need leadership. Gaia, I guess, would be the natural one. Vara, if she comes back from space with Nick. But, like, you know, we've now, like, established this, like, center of this nation, this nascent nation of Skrulls. There's still upwards of a million of them on the planet. Like, that's a cool... like, center of power to be reckoned with going forward into the MCU when we know that they're going to unveil mutants sooner or later. There's now all these other kind of powered folks who can influence events. And I think if they really tap into that, that could be kind of cool. That could be
it
cool.
It should be, like, a world-shifting change for the MCU because this is essentially... going to establish what the original Secret Invasion comics established, which is like people won't trust heroes because Skrulls can have hero powers.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. But honestly, that should have all been established in the show, not as a potential going forward.
Who is the like the mainstream Skrull politician who in full Skrull form goes on TV and is like, hey, I know you guys are scared of us, but actually we've been like doing really important shit for the American government for years. Like we put together the Avengers, basically. We put Nick Fury like into the leadership of we did all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're your friends and we're here to live amongst you. We can live in abandoned nuclear power plants and like radioactive dumping
grounds.
Yeah,
we don't even need to take your housing.
We can live where the worst toxic chemicals are. Yeah. Just put us there and can we live there? That would be a very interesting wrinkle going forward.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see where they go with it, especially because they went so far from the comics with this one. It will be really interesting to see. And this, once again, if we're talking about long term, you know, you mentioned mutants. This is gonna, or it could, I won't say definitely, this could establish more of that hate and fear that you need for the X-Men to exist.
I think that that is.
You have Ritson, who's an anti-alien president who soon will probably become an anti-powered people president once he learns about the Super Skrulls. And then you end up in a situation where you could do, I think part of the reason that Feige and co were cool with Jessica erasing the Sokovia Accords is so you could really have like a mutant registration act and stuff like that. So it will be very interesting to see where it goes. But also I read there was a great article at Marvel.com by Megan D'Amore about, it was like an oral history of the Secret Invasion comics. And in it, I learned that Brian Michael
Bendis
is really good. And it's so, so in-depth. And one of my favorite things I learned was that Brian Michael Bendis wanted to originally call the book just Skrulls with an exclamation point. They should have just called this show Skrulls. And then like you leave Secret Invasion for whenever you do it. Like it's a truly one of the biggest flaws, I believe, is using a comic that even for people who weren't in comic shops, that is one of those comics where you know what it's about.
It was a really cool one. I remember when it was unfurling at the time, it was really cool. Here's another wrinkle for you. What if, like, the first mutant that gets outed is Mystique? Because everybody's already so paranoid
about
now
shapeshifters.
About Skrulls and shapeshifters, right? So all of a sudden they discover this shapeshifter that's not an alien. We've only ever seen Loki really be able to do stuff like this.
And most people like don't necessarily know that he's like this godlike character. He's in the Avengers crew.
So what if it's that? They like flush out Mystique and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, what the hell? There's
that's
other
a pretty
folks
good call.
Around?
Also, I do wonder if there's some way that this ties in with the Marvels, because even though those characters are not shapeshifters, we are going to see in the wake of this Skrull invasion, we are then going to see these three characters who keep transforming into each other. And if that was perceived by a public who knew about Skrulls, they may believe that they are shapeshifters. And today, I'm going to put a mild spoiler, a big spoiler warning here if you haven't read your Marvel comics yet today. But by the time on Friday you listen to this, hopefully you will. They revealed today that shock horror Kamala Khan is alive, as we knew. We were right, but also like Iman Vellani, who plays Ms. Marvel, she's co-writing the comics, and that was announced recently. And the interesting thing there is she's going to be mutant and inhuman.
Wow.
So I think we could also see something coming in where the Inhumans do get to be a part of the MCU. And I think the Marvels could be that big, important story that people have kind of been waiting for this year within the MCU. So it'll be interesting to see.
I mean, you think Ritson is hot now. Wait until he finds out that there are aliens on the moon.
Yeah, they're just chilling there.
They just
in
live
like
on
a
the
very
moon.
Weird monarchy. And they can give people powers with a special mist. Ritson will be very stressed.
Up next, Nerd Out.
In today's Nerd Out, where you tell us what you love and why, a theory you're excited to share, or a quick question we can answer, Taryn offers a very timely Secret Invasion theory.
Let's hear it.
I have a Nerd Out question / possible theory about Secret Invasion and She-Hulk. In She-Hulk, we were led to believe Hulk King is trying to get Jen's blood. Is it possible the Skrulls want her DNA, or are Hulk powers too close to the strength Skrulls already have? It just feels like someone trying to steal Jen's DNA is too similar to the Skrulls using DNA to become Super Skrulls. Love listening to you guys. Love the podcast. Taryn, I love this question.
Yes.
Because She-Hulk was not in the end game battle for Earth. So it would make sense.
It would make a lot of
sense. Somebody may have been involved with the Skrull's plan. And because Jen is stronger, we learn in She-Hulk, she can control it.
That's
so
right.
If you were going to have a Hulk DNA, she would be the better, more useful DNA to have.
I love the idea that there are other Skrulls in other shows that we just have not...
Exactly.
We have not unveiled yet. I still believe that Kingpin is a Skrull.
It would make so much sense with how he came in with those powers.
So I love that theory. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's so fun, Taryn. I think this could be a We Were Right for the ages, so we'll have to see soon. And if you have theories, passions, or a quick question that you want to share, hit us up at xray@crooked.com. Instructions in the show notes.
That's it for us, Rosie. Any plugs?
You can find me here on X-Ray Vision. You can read my newsletter, which is Rosie Recommends. You can find the link to that at my Instagram, which is Rosie Marks. And you can read cool comics that I've read if you go to my website, which is rosienight.com.
Catch the next episode of X-Ray Vision Wednesday, August 2nd, when we'll be talking about Invincible Season 2 and other stuff.
You can watch full episodes of the podcast on YouTube. You can also check out our Twitter at XRVPod and our Discord to hang out with cool fans who love all the same stuff as you.
Five-star ratings, five-star reviews. We gotta have them. You gotta give them to us. Here's one from Abib2. My favorite podcast. I've been a fan of Jason for a long time and couldn't ask for a better co-host than Rosie.
Aww.
Love y'all's energy and chemistry and deep comic Star Wars knowledge. Seriously, you guys brighten my day and make me smile every time a new ep drops. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
X-Ray Vision is a Crooked Media production. The show is produced by Chris Lord and Saul Rubin and executive produced by me, Jason Concepcion. Our editing and sound design is by Vasilis Fotopoulos. Video production by Dylan Villanueva and Rachel Gajewski. Social media by Awa Okolati and Caroline Dunphy. Thank you to Brian Vasquez for our theme music. See you next time. Since you enjoy listening to us, we would like to recommend a new podcast you may like. Still Watching, from award-winning television critics at Vanity Fair, takes you into the fabulous and fun world of And Just Like That. Join Vanity Fair's Richard Lawson, Hilary Boussis, and Chris Murphy as they recap each episode of the iconic Sex and the City update. Whether you love it, whether you hate it, each Thursday, Still Watching will feature a lively discussion of And Just Like That, plus interviews with the stars of the show. Make sure you're following Still Watching, available now wherever you get your podcast.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. MLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Okay.